For WKU Public Radio, along with Barbara Deeb, I'm Colin Jackson. Last month, Coleman Elridge made history as the first Black American to lead the Kentucky Democratic Party. His appointment comes at a time when Democrats are struggling to win at all levels of government in the state. He says it'll take time to snap the losing streak.
So I think it's a couple of things. I think it's one, reconnecting with the voters. There's been a disconnect. If you look at the vote totals from the 2020 election, the Republicans don't get that without Democrats voting straight Republican ticket. Second is making sure that we have the tools necessary all across the party to be successful. So we've got to not only recruit candidates, but train them. And finally, I think it's regaining our voice. For too long, we've allowed others, the Republican Party and others, to frankly define who we are as Democrats. And we've brought, you know, cupcakes to knife fights. I am not interested in doing that.
So for you, where does that start? Because I think to someone outside of politics, they would assume that, I guess, in every election, politicians try to talk to voters.
Sure. You know, I think you hit the nail on the head. Those conversations happen around election time. They're not continuous conversations. They're not conversations that aren't transactional. You know, if my only interaction with a politician is when they need my vote, and then I give you that vote and you disappear for another 2, 4, 6 years, that's a problem. I think the only other thing I'd add to that is also this notion of voter registration. We treat that as something that only happens around both the primary and the general of an election, instead of taking that on as a 365-day-a-year enterprise.
I'm reminded of State Representative Charles Booker, and we just saw him mount a pretty impressive primary challenge against Amy McGrath for the open Senate seat this summer, running on a progressive message. So how do you incorporate that into a winning strategy?
We know we can harness some of that because we have been that when we've been at our best. Charles really, frankly, took something that we had done previously and said, wait a minute, we're not so beyond the pale that we can't, again, connect with folks and do it in a human way. And so I think how we as a party turn that is to, one, in some ways, reject the moderate versus progressive versus conservative label. The things that Charles talks about, the things that I believe connect Democrats and frankly people across the Commonwealth, are about good paying jobs. They're about the dignity of education and the dignity of healthcare. It's about the fact that, you know, there are still places in 2020, almost 2021, in the Commonwealth of Kentucky, where there is not access to safe, affordable, clean drinking water. That is unacceptable.
In recent years, we've seen several Democrats in what have been traditionally red states mount impressive campaigns. Stacey Abrams or Beto O'Rourke come to mind. When you look at that, where do you find inspiration that you want to take back to the bluegrass state?
So the first and foremost is the voter engagement and registration. You know, the reason there remains voter apathy is because, as I said earlier, voters aren't stupid. And they're actually fairly savvy. And so when you treat voter engagement as a once every few year endeavor, you basically become a voting ATM. There are things, you know, I've heard since I've been chair, you know, just steal what they're doing in Georgia and do it here. Well, Georgia had some other great things at their disposal. They had a growing demographic shift, not only in the suburban areas, but in the Atlanta and other metro areas. We don't necessarily enjoy that in Kentucky. And so I think there will be places where strategically what happened in Georgia and some other places we can use to its in its totality to effectiveness. But that engagement around of voters connecting with folks, making sure that it's not a one-off, but that we're building relationships, we're listening to people. Those things, I think, become critically important to turn the tide.
Can you talk about your own personal story and how that makes it that much more important to have this position now?
That's a weighty question. My father committed suicide when I was 3, and when I look back on that now, part of that was because I've often tried to put myself in his shoes, and, you know, he saw lynchings firsthand. It wasn't a historical event to him. It was something that he saw growing up in Birmingham. He had aspirations that far exceeded where people of color born in the South, born in poor families, were expected to go. You know, my father's death meant that my mother became a 28-year-old single mother. We lost everything paying his debts off. So we went from a pretty, you know, what we thought was stable, upper class, middle life to having three boxes of clothes and toys and figuring our way from California to Texas, ultimately to Kentucky. And so that journey I wear with me every day. And I think what it means for me in the roles that I've had is that I have been blessed to have opportunities to at least move the ball forward so that future generations aren't living as badly.
Race remains a focal point in Kentucky politics. In recent years, we've seen Republicans Jeanine Hampton and Daniel Cameron win statewide office. But at the same time, we've seen Black Democrats in the state house say they feel sidelined by the majority. Do you see this as the beginning of a fundamental shift in Kentucky politics?
Yes, and. Look, let me start with the first part of your question. I remain incensed and angry to a place where I cannot say what I feel on radio of just how disappointed I am in my own party. There have been so many people of color that have been worthy to run for statewide office that our party should have embraced and not given the opportunity to, by any stretch of the imagination. I think we as people of color understand the necessity of earning what we get. But the fact that that still has not happened is sickening to me. And trust me when I say I understand more than people probably realize how easy it would be for people of color throughout Kentucky to say, what the heck? You know, if we're not even worthy to be on a ticket, a statewide ticket, there are like seven offices, you know, at least one. And then the fact that the Republicans beat us to that. So what I would say for my party is that we are going to do better.
I appreciate you taking the time today, and I hope you have a great rest of your day.
You as well. Thank you.
We've been speaking with Kentucky Democratic Party Chair Coleman Eldridge, and you're listening to WKU Public Radio.